When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Beasley switching in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Hugh O'Connor's. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. This is 5010 Dinkins Street in Houston, Texas. Tonight, it's a bit of a celebration party. We got a lot of soccer fans in here tonight wearing different uniforms, different strips. Over the next 2 hours, we will have six live guests in here, including Premier League players, some of the movers and shakers with World Cup 2026 in Houston. And we will also tap into some of the biggest games over this past weekend. Earl Barrett will be one of our guests later on, played a number of games for Aston Villa, 116, in fact, in the Premier League, played at Everton as well. He will join us a little bit later live. So we'll have a revolving live guests coming in and out here tonight. If you are out and about on the town right now, come on in and join us. We've got Nico Nikos here. We got Euros all over the place. We got little Patagonia empanadas. We got free T-shirts, free soccer balls. Come on in, join the celebration. It's fun. This is a soccer program that's been on the radio, by the way, for 22 years, which that's pretty hard to believe. 713-780-3776 is the call-in number. Big thank you to Peter Kingston of Hugh O'Connor's here. We put this together quickly. The reason was to try and bring together different elements of not only the soccer community, but networkers. So tonight I've already met a couple of people that I've corresponded through talking soccer that I've never met in person tonight. So it's a very good thing. But gracing our presence here in segment number one, they call him the Godfather.
I'm the opening act.
He's with John and Lance, the morning show on ESPN 97.5. Recently inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. John Granato in the house here tonight. Straight from the golf course, and he's got a Coors Light in his hand right
now. Damn right I do.
John, any opening statements?
What? Yeah, everybody get a Coors Light on Glenn. Glenn's buying. Let's go.
That's no problem. I'll handle that. I'll handle that. All right. So for full disclosure, John and Lance have been very, very good to soccer on the morning show. That has not always been the case over my 22-year career in radio. So there's a lot of gratitude actually coming my way to them. And then I think because of their dipping into the waters to me, the other guys at the station, I think, have a little bit more of an affinity for it. It's not necessarily their biggest thing in their wheelhouse. It will have to be a little bit more when World Cup 2026 comes here. Yeah. Full disclosure, tell everybody out here right now, you're going to reveal it, who your team is, why you root for them, and the story behind it.
Well, I'm a Real Madrid guy. Yeah.
It's a tough audience. It's a tough audience.
Well, when my son was growing up, he played, soccer, the video game, obviously, FIFA. And then he just loved Cristiano Ronaldo. So every time he came on, we had to record it, and we sat down and we watched it, and we were watching, and it was always, him against Messi, and it was always, Cristiano, and he just loved the way Cristiano played and all of that stuff. So I became a Real Madrid fan, and I got to go to Bernabeu when I was in Madrid last year, and it was special. It was really, really a neat place to go. The seats, I mean, you're honestly, there was people, and they weren't,
typical Americans. Got to have a bigger seat.
Yeah.
A bigger seat.
And the Spanish people are small people, and you're all like this. And then I didn't know this, but everybody brings sandwiches at halftime. And I'm sitting there, and everybody's eating sandwiches, and I got nothing. And it's not like that. I mean, it was there's not a lot of luxurious stuff in the stadium. I mean, it's not. It's bare bones. And there were no concessions, There was one guy selling some chips on the side over there, and I was like, "Well, I'll have some chips."
Well,
you guys got
any dancing bears like
that? No,
MLS,
no,
or anything like
nothing,
that?
and no Coors Lights either. So I was very disappointed.
Yeah, but you did tell me, and we're talking to John Granato, Morning Show Hall of Fame. By the way, Abigail Hong in the house tonight doing the engineering.
Yes,
she's also
Abigail.
A producer.
Hi, how's it going?
Back in studio, Brian McDonald. Former ESPN producer Andrew Carlson in the back wearing a Arsenal jersey. But you told me that you were struck by how focused people were on the
game. Oh, my gosh. It was their intent. And, they were so – they're so smart. They're so appreciative. A nice pass an attempt on goal. And it wasn't like, here, oh, you stink, you missed it. They were like, oh, very good play, very nice play. Even though, they didn't score or whatever. But, hey, that was good. That was really good. And they're very – it was much different, much different. But they were
– But you see how quickly an indoctrination occurs with Real Madrid fans?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, they weren't very – It was. They were all. They weren't very. That wasn't very. I went to a Roma game before, and boy, those people are nuts. They're insane. There were flares going off. The fire. There was a fire in the end zone. I mean,
yeah,
it was crazy.
I remember when you said you
it
went
was crazy.
To that. It's a good thing you were Italian.
At Real Madrid game, there wasn't much except in the end zone. They had all the singing going on. That was it. That was about it. But everybody else was very quiet and just paid attention to the game.
Do you realize how many owners of foreign professional soccer teams we have in Houston? Jeff Lunau, by the way.
Yeah, who they just
team,
moved up, right?
His team, just beat Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
You have Dan Friedkin with Roma.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's incredible how these owners, a lot of them have come from America, some better than others. But I asked Jeff Lunau on this show, why not MLS, and he didn't like the centralized nature of the league.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He wanted to go. He's got, I think, their group, Blue Crow Sports. They have three teams, one in the Czech Republic. They got Cancun FC in Mexico, and they have Leganes. So Leganes goes from the second division to the first. It's unbelievable. They're playing Real Madrid. They're playing Barcelona. Cash
and
windfall.
Beat Barcelona, right, like you said.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where Jeff Luneau is. Jeff Luneau is going to win. Yeah. Jeff Luneau is the smartest guy in the room wherever he is. That dude, he put together this Astros team, and the reason that we had the best decade ever and the best decade in all of baseball, it was his fingerprint. They're still all over this team. So, Leganes, would you be surprised if they win a title there? Okay?
Well, the first thing is survival and staying
right,
up, because that's where the money is.
No, but in a few years, 4 or 5 years, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't win it.
We'll see. I mean, they're a very good collective defending team. They have struggled scoring goals. They scored a goal off a corner to win it. But they don't have the resources
of the other teams.
Exactly.
Right.
So we'll see what happens in the future. Do you think sports is getting a little bit too much on the data side? For me, it's leaning too heavy.
Yeah. Well, I like the Jeff Luneau data. I'm not crazy about, I'm not crazy with it. Well, the three-pointers in the NBA, that's it's about ruining the game. They had to change the rules in baseball now with the shift.
But because good, it was just good, too, I like the baseball change.
Well, I like the baseball change, but it's still, we were just talking about it today. Alex Bregman's a 255 hitter, and he's going to make $30 million a year. 255 is fine now. 255, you couldn't even get on the field before back in the day. You've got to be you got to be 280, 290, 300 hitter. Now 250 is fine because we just have to, all we need is power, drive the ball. It's a different game.
One of the greatest stats in baseball for older generation was a pitcher doing a complete game, nine innings,
right?
I
know.
Finishing a game, that stat is irrelevant now.
No. Now you need Tommy John after you pitch eight innings.
You got 100 pitch.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, that's true. And well, football still stayed away from it a little bit, but I can't stand when you're down 8 points and they go for two late in the game, and you're like, no, kick the extra point and go for two at the end. Don't go for two now. But analytics says that you do it, so
you know what I can't stand? With all due respect to Ben Olsen, I can't stand coaches coming into a press conference and doing that.
And looking at the stats? Yeah.
And quoting expected goals and all these things. I mean, to me, if you can't talk about your team after 90 minutes without the aid of data, something's wrong. I mean, I'm sorry. It's like if I can't come in here and talk soccer night tonight, you guys should never listen to my show again.
Yeah. Right.
Honestly. I mean,
now
if
I will say this,
do it off the cuff.
I will say this though. Back in the day, even now, coaches when they're walking in, their PR people will give them the basketball coaches. They'll come in and they'll just check. They'll look to see because the game is so fast. Now, soccer is different because there isn't as much scoring, obviously, going on. But a coach will go, oh, okay. Because you don't get everything while you're on the sidelines. You're too into the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so there might
I
be,
get it.
In soccer, there's a lot less stats than basketball or football or baseball.
Not if you look lately.
No, well, no, I mean, wait, how deep they
coming
go?
Up, they're coming up with stuff that, I'm looking, what does that mean?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like hieroglyphics, you know? I mean, it's a pretty simple game, I think.
Expected points,
I mean,
right.
If you watch 90 minutes, you know if your team got into the final third or not. You know if they created chances.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you want the exact numbers, yes, you can look at it. You can look at trends. You can see who they play through out of the back and things like that. All right, so where would Lance be tonight?
Lance is, I mean, he's probably going to come up now. You got the guy from Everton coming. You know, Lance is a big Everton guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves Everton. Now, Lance is working on, actually, it's his daughter's 14th birthday.
He had something.
His daughter's 14th birthday, so he had to do that. He said he had to make her ribs. But now is his busy time because he's looking at all, the players. He does NFL draft for the NFL draft for NFL.com. And so he's got to look at 400 players. He's got to evaluate 400 players between now and the draft, so he's swamped.
Yeah, I've been going into his office. We've been chatting a lot, and we're going to go to lunch to talk about data. But I'm not against data, by the way. I get it, but to a point, right?
Right.
And I don't like when people cherry-pick, defend things because of the cherry-picking nature of it, or, I don't think – Yeah,
I'm swamped right now, too.
And I know it's a gambling thing, too.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. He's swamped with that, and I'm swamped with golf every day and drinking Coors Lights.
Yeah.
So we are both busy, 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 the two of us.
No, I can get that. All right, I want you to listen to this goal call. Brian, do you mind soundbite number one? Richard Sanchez, Club America, who goes on to win the Mexican League title.
That one. Okay.
3-2 aggregate on Monterrey. This is absolute bomb.
Centro arriba, Sendejas la vaca. Le va a pegar Richard! Golazo!
Well, the in-house audience can't.
They can't hear it, though. But it's tremendous. Just so you guys know, it's great. Great call. Oh!
Somewhere in there was golazo.
Galactico.
How does he speak?
I don't know
how he could talk today. I don't know how he could talk today.
He had a heart attack.
Yeah. What about the Vermont goal? You got that one?
I don't have the Vermont goal, but Vermont won the NCAA tournament.
Did you hear the call? Did you hear the kid?
Yeah,
it's
great.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. I mean, it sounded like he was like 12, and he's screaming. But how about Vermont? How about that? Now, you tell me how a Vermont can win the NCAA tournament when they have never won anything ever.
So college soccer is changing incredibly by the moment. First of all, it's becoming less and less important, sadly, to MLS as a pathway to get into professional soccer. Most of these teams now, because the portal, have kids that have played at two universities or colleges, right? You also had the pandemic, which allowed for a fifth-year senior. And a large portion of these teams are now all foreign players. So it's there's some messaging here, because if you look at our youth soccer community, one of the big sells is come to our club, we're going to help you get a college scholarship. And a lot of them are coming from overseas. They're going to foreign players because the foreign player now sees the opportunity to get an education, and also it might be a pathway to playing in Major League Soccer. So there's a lot going on and shifting right now, changing very much. We'll see how it all levels out. But if you look at the rosters on those teams.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think only 30% of them would have but U.S. Still, addresses where
Vermont where being able to do that, though.
Still a big deal
players,
for Vermont, not taking anything away
absolutely.
From them. Not
absolutely.
Taking, I got a little philosophical there, but yeah. No, it was awesome for Vermont. I don't think they've ever won an NCAA
never,
title
nothing,
in anything.
Never, no.
Never been to a final.
No.
But you had a final College Cup with the University of Denver that played here in 2016. You had Vermont. You had Ohio State. And the last team was Marshall, West Virginia.
Right. And they beat Marshall,
so,
right?
And yep. They beat Marshall, yep. Who had won a national title a couple of years ago with a lot of foreign players.
Oh, yeah.
So
yep.
There we go. What else is on your soccer mind tonight?
Well, you tell me how we're doing getting ready for World Cup.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
What's that mean to you as a long-time announcer in Houston?
You know, I was texting. Listen, I don't know anything, right? And I'm texting him during the World Cup, and it was like, oh, my God, I've got a soccer mind that can tell me. It's the time, I think, that brings everybody, and it is going to be here in Houston, and it is going to be special. Yes. It is really going to be special.
Pretty remarkable.
It'll be neat. It'll be interesting to see which teams come here and which cities will fill up our neighborhoods and which, the area. So I am really looking forward to it. I can't wait. You got Chris Kennedy coming today, right?
Yeah, so we're going to ask him tonight about security, fan zones, how people are going to get around to these games, where they're going to congregate. We also have John Luke Blackhorn coming on in a minute. He's with a group called Team Houston. He's going to talk a little bit. He's right there. He's a Dutchman. He's hoping the Netherlands comes here. But he's created a really interesting thing for people that are networking and helping people prepare for what business opportunity is going to lie here in Houston.
And David Fletcher's coming today?
David Fletcher tonight.
Well, I just need, I got to go, but make sure that he leaves me some tickets for the games.
Yes. We'll do that.
That's all I need.
Round of applause for
thank
John
you.
Granato.
Thank you, guys.
Big thank you. And, John, thank you so much
looking
for coming,
forward
as
to
always.
It. Bye, guys.
All right, as always here, quick word here for Cactus Music. Our break music is always provided by Cactus Music, even though they're my choices. Cactus Music, best in vinyl, CDs. Go down there. You can get, you name it, T-shirts, all kinds of great stuff there. Sam and Bonu in the house here. African Vibes. Awesome, Sam. Nice to see you. So get down to Cactus Music. Talk to Quinn. Talk to your staff down there. They are the best. When we come back, Jan-Luc Blackhorn will join us now to talk Team Houston and a World Cup adventure that's coming our way.
Never could explain just what was happening to me. Just one touch of you and I'm aflame.
Baby. ESPN 97.5.
And it could get worse still because this is Ahmad and he's round the keeper and he's tucked it in. And we've got an amazing turnaround in the Manchester Derby. City in front of their scarcely believing supporters have done what they did against Feyenoord here in the Champions League and thrown the game away.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Hugh O'Connor's.
Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. As everybody knows, this weekend, Manchester United steals the Mancunian Derby at the end. Diallo getting the goal. You heard the goal call there by John Champion on the Premier League. And it was an amazing weekend because listen to the teams that did not win this weekend. Check this out. Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Juventus, and PSV. None of those teams won a game this past weekend, which is pretty incredible. As we welcome you back, a quick word here for my good friend Jan Christensen, the Great Dane, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. They're on Fondren. If you like modern contemporary furniture, it's the place to go. You go in there, you talk to Jan about soccer, he'll probably kick something off the price knowing him because he loves the game beyond belief. DanishInspirations.com. If you like contemporary furniture, I have a lot of his stuff in my house. So a big thank you to Jan and for helping sponsor this show for many, many years. Again, we're at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 5010 Dinkins Street in West University. Call in throughout the night, 713-780-3776. Big shout-out to Peter Kingston and David Roach for hosting this. We put this together really quickly, and the only reason it's really turning out to be great is because all of you guys have shown up and gals. So very much appreciate that. This wouldn't have been as much fun if people didn't make it here tonight. So a big thank you for that. And thanks for supporting this show for 22 years on the radio. The T-shirts that are here, company called LamontBrands.com. You can actually purchase those shirts, and it goes to a 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. All right, next guest. Now, this is interesting because you've heard me over the years say that the soccer community has to get more active and take control of what it does here. In a city like Houston, you just can't leave it to the big three of Lone Star Sports and the Texans, the Dynamo, and Harris County Sports Authority. You have to enhance it, and you have to have things that go outside that concentric circle that are tertiary that support it. And you shouldn't be afraid to do that. Well, the man next to me is Jan-Luc Blackburn. He has created a group called Team Houston. He's getting it off the ground here. It's rattled the cages a little bit, but it's okay. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. And he's like everybody. We want the soccer community maybe to row a little bit more in the same direction once in a while as opposed to being isolationists, okay? So I've had pretty strong feelings on that over the years. I'm not getting into that tonight at all. But Jan-Luc, I want you to start out. First of all, full disclosure, he's from the Netherlands. He's hoping the Netherlands will be grouped in Houston.
Yep.
The greatest country that has never won a World Cup but has been to finals.
We're getting ready.
We love Johan Cruyff. It was my biggest influence, the 74 Dutch team. Mm. But he's created a thing called Team Houston. So let me just give you, Jan, the platform to tell people what Team Houston is.
Yeah, so let me give a little bit of background, right? So in the summer, we had obviously Euro 2024, and the British playing the Dutch in the semifinal. That was rivalry. But then that same rivalry caused me to work with Sorsha, who is my partner in crime on this project, where we basically said we need to inform the community, the business community in Houston, about the opportunity not only of the World Cup, but soccer in general. Because World Cup is obviously the big one in 2026, but we're going to have big ones in 2025. And we're going to have big ones here in Houston, and we're going to have big ones across the United States. So it's a unique opportunity to be really involved with soccer at the highest level in the world. And coming from a soccer country, living in Houston, it was sort of like, okay, we can't let that just not happen, right? I mean, and so we basically took it upon us to say, okay, we're just going to go take the initiative and we are going to inform the business community. So we've decided to start a monthly sequence So every month we're organizing an event where we basically want to tell the business community about what is coming. World Cup, Gold Cup, the She Believes Cup, the MLS, the NWSL. So many soccer opportunities are coming, and you can be part of that. And again, we're talking to the business community because we think they need to latch on to this because it's going to be, in our view, the biggest sport in the United States. It's going to take a few years, but it's on its way, right? I mean, it's growing like bananas, I like to say. And particularly also after the World Cup, there's going to be a massive number of new fans, and those fans are customers, and businesses should embrace that, and they're going to have a lot of fun with it, right? And having been myself in the World Cup in Brazil, walked the parade, I would love nothing more than walking the parade in my own hometown in Orange, half drunk and having a lot of fun, right? So
he's Jan-Luc Blackburn, Team Houston. So another thing to just mention here, I mean, to just literally sit here and think that a World Cup is going to be in our city, seven games, it's pretty incredible to think that we're going to wake up here and potentially be able to go to the stadium. Now, one of the things I'm going to ask Chris Kennedy tonight and David Fletcher, who are on the upside of a lot of the things that are going to go on with the World Cup, obviously the games being at Energy, is, you know, how engaged can Houstonians really be? Because this is not going to be an easy thing to get into, depending on who comes here. It's definitely not going to be for people who aren't going to be ready to spend money, with all due respect. So a lot of the engagement will be in and around the stadium and outside. So I think what Jan-Luc is doing is exceptional because you're creating awareness. You're also networking. You're trying to put people together who want to work together.
Yep.
But I think I'm like you, that I think we got to put it in overdrive a little bit more as a soccer community to let people know what's coming to Houston, Texas, because this isn't one Super Bowl. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to need to do things and have places to go, and it's going to be very interesting because they're not going to all get into the games.
Well, and the interesting thing, right, I mean, it's I like to say to people, it's like not everybody is playing in the Premier League, but a lot of people are playing soccer. And the same is going to be with let's say, all these tournaments coming to the U.S. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for a lot of companies that are not, per se, the main sponsor of the FIFA tournament or the Gold Cup. It's going to be for places like this. It's going to be for your Airbnb, your limo driver, your DJ, your catering service. And they all need to be ready, and they all need to prepare. And the best way to prepare them is to give them knowledge. So you were at our first event where we also basically educated people on all the other tournaments that are coming, right? Just for example, the Club World Cup is a way to practice your watch parties here in Houston. Games are not here, but you can do things with soccer. The Gold Cup is coming here, another way of practicing to gear up for
World
the big
Cup
one
final.
That is
She
coming.
Believes Cup is coming with the Cup. Women's National Team that's now reclaimed their glory. That's coming in February to Houston. So it's got to be a lot of great opportunities.
Yep.
You're aware of our supporters. I mean, we got a lot of people in here that are main components of supporters groups in Houston.
Yep.
Got Rudy back there. We got Victor right here. We got Ian Vary of Houston LFC, right?
He is one of the best coaches.
Also a very good coach. And by the way, I must give Ian a shout out because he's been. We got the Chelsea supporters group in the house. Who else we got? We got Manchester United back there. Yeah.
Oh wow.
There's any City people in here? We've got Arsenal in here as well. We got Rayados with Jerry over in the corner. So.
But you see a very interesting thing here, right? I mean, people are really proud of the colors that they wear.
Of course.
And so these are the team colors. And what we're going to get with all these big games, we're going to see the national colors, right? So it's going to be an additional dimension that we're going to get here where people will go crazy.
And it's not just about the World Cup, though. It's about soccer overall. There's opportunity in soccer right at this very moment. You know, I'm taking all comers. Anybody want to sponsor this show, you're in. I mean, there's no problem. You don't even have to fill out a form.
And so you're going to be talking later on about some of the, let's say, the organizational aspects. What I try to trigger a lot with people is, like, look what happened this summer in Dortmund, where 110,000 orange people walked the street. Imagine that happening here in Houston, right? It can happen. It depends just on which team is coming. Also, don't forget, Europeans have 4 weeks of holiday in the summer. So they're going to empty their 401k. They're going to come over because they didn't like to go to Qatar. They didn't like to go to Russia. They love to go to the States. So, and then there is no city better placed, I mean, just geographically, culture-wise, everything, than Houston. So I think Houston has an opportunity that is way beyond what maybe Houston sees it has, because it can be the place for all the fans to stay in the United States during the World Cup. And that means some work needs to be done. And that's what we hope to trigger with our monthly conversations that we do every month with a different theme. So this month, this Thursday, we're going to be in Pitch 25. We're going to talk about the fan. Next month, we're going to talk about the media. The month after, we're going to talk another topic. So every month, we have another topic so people can learn about different aspects of the World Cup.
Yeah, so I highly suggest you go. These are really good events. You meet some really unique people. You meet people from all different levels. You meet networkers, super football fans, people looking to do business off it. But they're a lot of fun. They're incredibly informative. Gianluca is a great speaker. He lays things out beautifully for you. And it gives you a nice feeling of camaraderie. I think sometimes our soccer community is a bit splintered. We got to pull it together a little bit more, I think, in the future. And I think that has to come from the people that love the game, grew up with the game, moved here, have helped enhance the soccer community. This is why we got the World Cup coming here, is because of our amazing soccer community.
No question. So some of the things we like to do for the people that are coming to our events is truly provide value, right? I mean, it's one thing to talk about soccer. So the first event, we had a great event. You were one of our great speakers together with David and Brian. And so we got feedback that people want to know even more. They want to know the nitty-gritty. Where can I do business? So we're working on providing a document that people can basically download when they come to the event. You have to come to the event, and we will get you information that will be of value to you so you can find your way in the land of the different leagues and the different teams on where you can do business, but also insight on the fans, right? So you can prepare with your business. How am I going to engage with the European fan? How am I going to engage with the American fan? How am I going to engage with the English fans, right? Because they're all different, but they're all very, very interesting. And those are just like trying to make the opportunity tangible for people here in Houston who maybe don't know as much about soccer as people like yourself, right?
Gianluca, please give your website information out. Again, I really urge you to go. It's really interesting. You meet a lot of really interesting people. And you know, when you listen to other people, I become a better listener later in life.
The website is team-houston.com. And so you'll find the different events there. So we have two events listed right now. We'll have some planned out almost all the way up to June. And this Thursday is going to be Pitch 25. We'll do a little bit of soccer on the side, so be ready for that. So it's going to be a lot of fun and games on top of, let's say, very informative session with a number of speakers that we'll talk
about.
By
the way, he's a bigger DJ than Diplo. You don't know it. He's a DJ. He's a DJ.
No, he's a DJ. Don't tell all the secrets.
Gianluca, thank you very much.
As always.
Give him a round of applause. Gianluca Blackhorn.
Thank you.
Team Houston. All right, we're going to take a break here. Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's 5010 Dinkin Street in West University. Great crowd out here. Come on down. Up next for us, and we're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth with Chris Canetti of Houston World Cup 2026. He's graciously in the house here tonight. He is up next as we go to break here. Quick shout out to the other Hugh O'Connor's Pub, which is out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. That's where the Liverpool Supporters Group and Ian Vary and company are. If you're a Liverpool fan, but that's anybody can go out there if they want to watch soccer. I think the Minnesota Vikings fans are out there too. I don't know. Anyway, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, great supporters of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. We got more to come. 5010 Dinkin Street. If you're out and about on the town, come in, get a soccer ball, get a t-shirt, get a drink, and support soccer on the radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oscar with the first corner of the game, and Leganés take the lead to stun and silence Barcelona. Sergio González had the freedom of the penalty area.
You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Hugh O'Connor's.
Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that was the goal call from Leganés, who was promoted to the first division in La Liga. They go into Barcelona, get a 1-0 victory off a corner. Goal was a header, and that was the difference. Historic win for Leganés, who gets promoted to La Liga's first division. First segment with John Granato, we were talking about Jeff Lunau and Blue Crow Sports and how that's one of their teams, and they got promoted and get a huge, huge win at Barcelona. Survival is the key for them in La Liga. Lamine Yamal of Barcelona got injured in that. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. Okay, as we come back to Hugh O'Connor's pub here, big shout-out to Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, Dimitri. Big thank you to them for bringing in. We got a boatload of Euros in here. If you come in, there's amazing food here. Great empanadas from Little Patagonia. Plenty of food here if you're hungry. Pull in, come in, get a beer, come in, listen to soccer talk. We got all kinds of people supporting a lot of different groups here tonight. All right, as I welcome you back, we welcome in tonight World Cup 2026 here in Houston. He is Chris Canetti. Chris, thank you for taking the time to come out. I know Christmas shopping's in full form, but we appreciate you making the effort. Thank you.
Good, Glenn. So happy to be here and talk a little World Cup.
Let's do it. All right, so basically, just, you know, let me give you a platform to kind of take us to where we are, what's going on, what phase we're in here, about, what, a year and a half out from a World Cup?
Yeah, year and a half out. We're intensely into the planning phases here. You know, a lot of the stuff that's going on is behind the scenes. There's not a lot of big announcements or any kind of milestones or things like that. You know, we're literally working on putting all the different pieces together, renovations to NRG Stadium, plans in terms of how we're going to install the pitch, lining up the practice facilities, all the protocols at the airports and the transportation and the safety and the security and the hotels, and, you know, then all the legacy stuff that goes into this, to growing the game, to sustainability, human rights. So many different moving parts to hosting one of these events here. At the end of the day, this is FIFA's event. You know, our city is the host, and our host committee is here to deliver this event for FIFA, to honor the contract that we have with them. And that's what we're very focused on, is making all those things happen and making sure that FIFA can put on the best party here in Houston.
In layman's terms, you don't have to go deep. Kind of describe to us what the contract is, kind of, with FIFA, you know, what you have to deliver. I know one of it is fundraising. But what kind of the city of Houston has to deliver to FIFA and in reverse?
So there's requirements for everything. If you want to be a World Cup host city, you have to meet certain FIFA requirements. They say, you want to have the privilege and the honor and all the benefit that comes with this grand event coming to your community and into your market. You need to have all these things in place, right? So again, you have to have a grass field, right? NRG Stadium is a concrete floor. So what is our plan to installing that grass field? That's entirely on us. That's our expense. That's something we need to do. But, again, you have to work very closely with FIFA in terms of how that happens. And there's a list of 100, 200 things like that, right? How you know, all the logistics at the airport, all the hotels, the transportation, the VIPs, the VVIPs, how the tickets are going to be distributed and sold. You know, there's just a number of logistics. The fan festival, I didn't mention that earlier. That's a huge thing that we need to put on for FIFA. So every city has exactly the same expectations and requirements and contracts. And that's what we're all working on, you know, individually as host cities, on how do we put these things in place. They cost a lot of money to do this. This is an obligation that we've taken on as a community. And now when you talk about fundraising, we have to go out and raise the money to cover those expenses, right? We have to make sure that, you know, I mean, the safety and security bill alone, as you can imagine, is a significant cost, making sure that it's a safe event. So we have to organize all these things. We have to pay for these things so that FIFA can come in, have its event. And we need to make sure at the end of the day that those costs are covered.
At a Houston World Cup, he is Chris Kennedy. He's in the house here tonight at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 5010 Dinkin Street. If you're out and about on the town, come in and join us. Without bringing this up in too big of a way, there have been some issues with the surface. Is there anything different being done with the installation of the surface here? Because we know at the end of the day, that's what players and coaches are going to be concerned about.
You can't have a bad surface for the World Cup. The easiest way to say this in layman's terms, back to your previous question, is this is an entirely different plan and program in terms of how we're installing the grass. So when you have a match, a one-off international friendly or a Gold Cup where it's one or two games over the course of a couple days, that's one thing. This grass is going to be installed for a 40-day period of time. Right, we have seven matches over 20 days, so you can't do it the way that it's been done for any other. So any problems that have happened in the past, it's not going to be an apples-to-apples comparison. So the easiest way to say this is we are building a grass field in that venue as though it's going to be permanent. So it'll, like I said, it will start on May 1st, and the turf will go down around May 21st. It'll have 20 days to take. There's a whole treatment program to make sure that it's pitch perfect. And then we have to make sure that it survives a 20-day period. And it's going to be a FIFA World Cup quality pitch. And then, unfortunately, the day after the game's over, this beautiful pitch gets removed from the stadium. But it'll be, like I said, the best way to explain it is imagine if we were building a grass field in there that was going to be permanent.
Chris, what do you say to... as Jean-Luc was on before, it's going to be a mass of people coming here. And he made a really good point that was a great reminder. It's not Qatar. This is a place that a lot of people dream to come to, the United States of America. Not only that, it's hosting the greatest sporting event on the planet. So there's a lot of people who are going to come here, not even going to get into games, probably don't even intend to get into games.
Right.
Are there going to be some areas outside of downtown that are satellite areas, tertiary areas? I would imagine people are going to want to congregate around the stadium, right?
Yes.
What are we going to do with them?
So let me tell you a story that your listeners will probably enjoy. We were in a meeting with some FIFA executives a few months back. We were at a hotel, and the FIFA executives had all worked the World Cup in Russia. And they were talking about how Peru was playing in some city in Far East Russia. And we all know Peru is not, it's not Argentina or Brazil, with all respect.
They got booked in Siberia.
What's that?
They got booked in Siberia.
I don't forget the name of the city, but it was, it was way far.
Vladivostok.
A long ways away from Peru. How about that, right? So 40,000 Peruvians made their way. Again, it's not Brazil, it's not Argentina. 40,000 Peruvians made their way from Peru to this Far East Russian city, and only 14,000 had tickets to the game.
Unbelievable.
Okay. So when you think about Houston, you think about our connectivity to the world, especially our direct access to South and Central America, we know that this city is going to be flooded, right? This is flooded in a good way. I don't mean in a bad way, with people from all over the world here to celebrate the game. So that's what we're preparing for. Obviously, we'll know in December of a year from now will be the draw. We'll know which teams are coming to Houston. That'll set off a completely different plan, right? If you get Germany, that's one thing, right? If you get Jamaica,
that could even be setting off a different security plan.
Exactly. All the plans are built a certain way, and then they change when you adapt when you see who the opponents are that are coming. But we're going to have a fan festival. So anybody who's been to a FIFA World Cup knows that the fan festival is the major ancillary event. It's for us. We're looking to make it a 39-day event. That's from the first match in Mexico City all the way on through to the final in New York, New Jersey, 104 matches. Our intent is to have all those matches viewed, to have the fan festival open. It's going to be in Edo. So anybody in here who's a soccer fan, a football fan, knows that Edo's kind of become the part of Houston where fans like to gather and enjoy the sport. So we're going to create this big theme throughout the neighborhood, with all the bars and the restaurants and even Shell Energy Stadium. And we'll have our official FIFA Fan Fest footprint that goes on there.
Big screen, giant screen.
Big screen stage. It's free. You know, it's going to be hot, so we have to do a lot to take into account heat mitigation and people's safety and health with all that. But that's going to be the major gathering place, right? It's just offset from the hotel and convention district where most people will be staying and circulating around Discovery Green and things like that. So that's, you know, we're building all those plans out as we speak.
Does our transportation system, can it hold up for this?
Absolutely. So, you know, one thing that we...
They're not going to be walking to Energy, that's for sure.
No,
there'll be a few nutcases that do. But.
No, we will have a very robust transportation plan. People from the airports to the downtown, from downtown to the stadium, and to all points to the fan festival for our guests and visitors. I lost my train of thought for a second there. But safety, security, transportation, all of these logistics are significant. We have experts from our community. That are leading this. Oh, I just regained my thought. When we were selling FIFA on why Houston, one of the facts we were able to convey to them was that Houston has hosted more major sporting events than any other city in North America since 2004. So for the last 20 years, we've been there, done that more than anybody else. Super Bowls, Final Fours, college football playoffs, All-Star games, major international soccer matches. Houston's been there time and time again. So people bring events here because they're executed successfully. Right, and there's a track record. So the bottom line is we have this template for success on things like transportation and safety and security. Now that template is what we'll build off of, because if there's nothing like a World Cup, it's completely different.
This could be different.
It's completely different, and FIFA, by the way, has completely different standards, protocols, operating methods, and so on than the NFL. Or even CONCACAF or CONMEBOL, right? It's Copa America. We all saw that this summer. Completely different. Unlike that setup at NRG Park and all these other things, it's going to be completely. It's not. It hasn't been seen like this before. It's completely different.
If people flood out to NRG, well, you know what? Let me save that one for David. Let me save that for David, because I don't want to miss asking you this question. And I say this, soccer was a poor man's sport. Doesn't look like too many poor people are going to get into these games. This has become a pretty elite sport. Is this really for the elites?
I mean, it's put it this way.
Say that respectfully.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a tough ticket.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how you spin it. If anybody who's listening or in the room, there's a lottery system for tickets. You go to FIFA.com/tickets, do it tonight, put your name in for the lottery. That's really the best way to get tickets. You know, FIFA controls all the ticketing. It's not the host committee or the Texans or Lone Star or any of us here locally. All the ticketing policies and who they go to and how they're distributed are controlled by FIFA. So, yes, there's going to be very limited opportunity for tickets if we're all being
honest. So when we see these second- and third-party ticket vendors out now advertising and taking money for tickets, how does that work?
That's a good question.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know how that works either.
They're being offered up online.
I know they are, and I honestly don't know the answer.
I would say probably don't buy those tickets right now.
I think that's a fair point.
Give yourself a shot at FIFA.com first.
Excellent.
Houston will host June 14th, 17, 20, 23, 26, and the 29th, a round of 32 games. 7 matches, World Cup 2026, Houston, Texas. First time ever, 48 teams. We won't talk about that, but it is expanding. It is getting bigger. He is Chris Canetti, Houston World Cup 2026. Chris, thanks for coming in. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to roll on here from Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's 5010 Dinkins Street, and it's in West University. So if you're on 59, you get off at Kirby, you take a right, take a quick left after Good Company, and there's free publicity for Good Company Seafood. And you're there. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Next up, from Energy Park, he is LSSE, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, Houston, Texas. He is the one man. He is David Fletcher. So tonight we're getting it right from the horse's mouth from Chris Canetti and David Fletcher next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.